Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Please be seated, and for just a moment I invite you to bow your heads to pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ is risen. And the week of weeks goes on. It's a wondrous time in the life of the church. Sad indeed for the folks that this day are grieving a week later from the slaughter in Ceylon. It tells you how old I am. They call it Sri Lanka now. My grandfather was a teacher to the missionary children in India and traveled to Ceylon more than a few times and had high regard for the Tamil people that were from there. It is a sad thing that in this day and age we are tempted in all sorts of ways to doubt our faith. If you think that the people in Ceylon are any different than the people in Poway, California yesterday, or any other Christian group of people who suffer for their faith, or any group of believers who are attacked because of the existence of the Almighty God, the God who said and whom we all confess, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, God is one, one God. The people from the early times were no different than we are today. Those disciples and their being shocked at the resurrection of Jesus are no different than you and me today. The women who weren't believed are no different than those same, often different voices to men who are not believed today. It's like there is a great gulf of understanding between us, or should we say misunderstanding, when we fail to listen to one another from the heart. Where does it stem from? It stems from the same thing which made Thomas get that wondrous false name, Doubting Thomas. Thomas was not doubting. He was believing Thomas, and for his sake and ours, the Lord caused him to wonder in rather sharp ways. It's when we have what some have called the hardening of the categories that we are close-minded. Thomas was not that way. He said, unless I see and put my hand, I will not believe. I don't think that as confirmands, the 50-some of us that Dr. Carl Walter Berner Sr. had out there in Inglewood in 1958, I don't think that enough of us asked those questions like Thomas. Because 4 years later, as if a prophetic thing, how many of those 54 were in church on a Sunday? Four of them. Four. Where were the other 50? Home asleep, locked in an upper room, fearful, not taking their own charge to be faithful seriously, just going through the motions and the steps. That is a danger for all of us. And you know, really, if you think about it, you can't blame Thomas for being a skeptic. Had the disciples really changed that much since they had received the Holy Spirit from the resurrected Jesus? This little one that was baptized today received the Holy Spirit. the mark of the Holy Spirit on your forehead and upon your breast, as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. That happened to you and me all the same. And sometimes we are no different than that Thomas. We doubt and we wonder. What do you think these disciples were doing? Were they full of the Spirit and excited and going out and running all over and telling everybody about this Jesus Christ who's risen from the dead? They were cloistered. They were holed up. They were wrapped in fear. In that week since they'd seen Jesus alive, remember that, they had seen him. Where was Thomas then? I don't know. But they also were full of doubts and wonders. Were they the living witness to the resurrection in their city? Are we? Actually, John tells us that the disciples were holed up again, cloistered, if you will, in that same room where they'd been hiding in fear the week before. Yeah, sure, they'd seen Jesus, but other than the brief testimony to Thomas that they did, it wasn't much different. And how did that evangelism attempt work out? He told them, unless I see him, unless I put my hand, I will not believe. Only seeing Jesus in the flesh would change his mind. For Thomas and for us, Jesus panned Thomas entirely for his reluctance to trust the disciples' testimony. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, said Jesus. But Thomas is depending upon his own vision to change his heart rather than hanging his heart on Jesus' promises. There, my friends, is our big, huge problem. We want things according to our own ability, experience, our cognizance, our cognition capacity. We want to have it our way. And it's very tough for us to listen to others. As a young pastor, it was very difficult for me to learn to listen to the faith of the elderly women who were mostly widows, until one day I found out incredible wisdom. This last week, and I'm thinking of some of you who know about him, A fellow named Herman Otten died, who pastored a church in New Haven, Missouri for a long time, but was never ordained in the Missouri Synod because he was, well, it's a long story. The point is simply this. He heard the word of Christ, he believed it, and he shared it. That's the essence of following Jesus. And all of us, likewise, have heard that Jesus is risen from the dead. You said it to me. I said, Christ ist erstanden. And you said, he is risen indeed. If I say, Christus aneste, what would you say? He is risen indeed. That's the Greek version of that. Don't worry about it. Alethos aneste is what you'd say. It's not important. But what I'm trying to get across to all of us is that no matter where we come from in this world, no matter what our background is, we have the same issue. An old sausage maker, a Christian believer man who was huge. He was weighed about at least twice what I do, and he was bigger and great big laugh. He said, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. That's fairly deep wisdom. Unfortunately, it has two sides, as I risked telling him. I said, yes, that's true. We're all pretty much the same. But we're also the same in being kind of impervious, like Thomas was, to the witness of others. We find it hard to believe somebody else. We're all from Missouri, the show me state. I won't believe unless I see it with my own eyes, said Thomas, who's actually not the patron saint of Missouri, by the way. When it comes to faith, you see, God is not willing to indulge our demand for cameo appearances. When God makes promises, it's very simple. God keeps them. Easter being the very best case in point. You remember what the women heard from the two men standing alongside him in last Sunday's Easter gospel? Sure you do. I'm not going to have you raise your hand or anything like that, but I know you do. You remember. The famous words, "He is risen, as he told you." Sometimes it takes some supernatural witnesses to remind us that we have been told. What then happens? The same thing that happened to our first mother in Eden. What happens? We listen to another voice. Sometimes it's external, sometimes it's internal. But it's another voice. It says, "But were you there? Did you see it for yourself? Unless I..." And you can fill in the blanks for yourself. I do for myself. It is necessary for us to have a simple ability to suspend disbelief. Disbelief is natural. Have you ever tried to convince somebody of something you did and they couldn't believe you? You didn't want to beat them on the head, but instead you beat yourself on the head. I can't get this across to them. How come I can't? Human nature, as Luther so clearly put it, is incurvatus in se, curved in on itself. And we know the end result of that. It's death. It's not just physical dying, which comes closer when you're an old preacher than you'd like to have it come. But that's no different between anybody else either. All of us would like to live a long, long time, happily, pursuing happiness, if nothing else. But you see, that choosing that you and I do by nature, that denominating that we do mathematically by our own human nature, divide everything by me, causes a big problem. Curved in on oneself, what is the hope of that? Nothing. Death. And I love the way the Hebrews put death. And they said to somebody, "Einenu." And that means, doesn't exist anymore. That's the curse that's implied that the man hanging next to Jesus understood so well. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, in his promise, said, "You will be with me." You want a description of heaven where everybody's up there looking happy down on you? Forget that. It's with God. Jesus said it to that baby today. "You with me." God's own child. And I declare it, one of our wondrous hymns. And how is it that we can do that? Because we understand that Jesus has come to us as he did to his disciples and even Thomas. And he said, "Peace be with you." In the Middle East, where some people come as a performance of separateness and say, "Salaam alaikum, peace be upon you." I had a man from Egypt who was a pastor, good friend of mine, worked side by side with him for about 9 years. He said, "Salaam alaikum," to me. And I said, "Oh yeah, I got that. Like, shalom alaikum." "No," he says, "Jesus not say salaam alaikum, peace be on you. Jesus said salaam alaikum," like a hug. That's what Jesus was saying to doubting Thomas, to doubting John, fill in your blanks. That's what he's saying to everyone. And how is that not possible for people to not believe? As a little kid, sometimes even when I was the age of Jada, right? Yeah, okay. And others here. I didn't get it. I mean, I had some understandings of faith and belief, but how come others didn't? Well, when I was a SEM student, we had this phrase, many are called, but few get up. That's because it was hard to get to breakfast before a class. It's like 6:30 in the morning. It's not the many are called, but few get up. Many are called, but few are chosen. What's this being chosen? I thought I made a decision. You know that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? I don't really like that song. It's fun to sing. But the theology is miserable. Jesus decided, and he invites us, you, come, follow me. Peace be with you. Come. It's way different. And the first time I heard my Egyptian pastor friend who read all of Luther's works and said when he was done with reading the Book of Concord, ah, I am Lutheran. Well, knock me out of my chair. I know a whole bunch of people sitting in pews that ain't ever read all the Lutheran confessions. I know some guys at the seminary graduate level that didn't read Luther's confessions either, all the Lutheran confessions, let alone Dr. Luther's works. So when he said to me, ah, some troubles, is what he meant. He had bad English, but he could get everything across really well. He says, God has cut you in his hand. I said, well, I don't know if I like that. He's grabbed you. He says, why? God has caught you in his hand. What he does, put you by his heart. Oh, what a descriptive difference. That's what God did today for little John, my namesake. What a happy thing for me to hear the words that you spoke to a John, being one myself, right? Right, Pop? It's a good thing. It was spoken to all of you that this risen Christ, who died and rose again, has given himself into death and resurrection for you and for everyone in the whole world. But for you, you who hear his voice, you who sing his praise, you think it's any easier for us to be his witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and all of parts of the world like Knoxville? Now, lots of you don't live within 2 miles of the church. Lots of you live farther out. I don't live that close to this congregation either. I've been here once before in this spot doing this, but it's always, always, always new. There is nothing. You cannot, said the ancient philosopher, you can't step into the same river twice. How horrible that is, unless you hear the words that are important for us about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We have that solution in Christ Jesus given to us for all time and all eternity and for all people. It affects those with whom we live. Now, that means that you're never going to have any arguments. And when those two little girls grow up and one of them wants to borrow the other one's clothes without saying it, remember, they're both children of God. But just like us, they're not perfect. And when the baby and the big sister wants to teach him what to do, what do you think's going to happen? He's going to love that, right? We are hard to teach people. Your job as believing Christians is to help open the hearts and the minds by God's power, to study his word together, to ask questions, to learn, to live, and to share. Today we come to this altar to receive the body and blood of our risen Savior, who has given himself that you and I might have life, the forgiveness of sins, that we have salvation. Yes, it's sad that some of our fellow believers had their lives drastically taken away from them. It's also sad when those of us who are still here look at the death of the saints. And as I get older, I recognize more and more names in the Missouri Synod publications of people that I at least had an acquaintance with who are going on. And one day it'll be me and you. We just don't know. As I try to tell my kids, we cannot believe for you. I can only witness to you in whom I trust. And I don't think I do a really good job of that. So you get to learn about being a forgiving person. My father was a teacher, became a pastor, had like 11 grandchildren, was very concerned about those grandchildren. Some of them weren't going to church, and they were like, you know, at that point where people wander off, 17, 18, like going to college. And he said, I've got to write a letter to each one of them. And he was 90-something, and his writing days and accomplishing tasks, it wasn't going to happen. And I said, Dad, you don't need to write anything. They will never, ever think of you except that you are a living letter in their heart and mind to strong, lifelong faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen.
I can't add anything to that except this one word. Amen. Go and be at peace. May the mercy of God shine upon you, in you, and through you for all you meet in all you do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.